sustained following earlier Israeli shelling. To the north, regime's artillery strikes on Gaza City's Al-Zaytun neighborhood also left casualties, and deaths and injuries were also reported following airstrikes on parts of the city's Al-Shujaya neighborhood. The attacks come as health officials have warned there is no safe place in Gaza amid unrelenting Israeli bombardment. Over 50,600 Palestinians have now been killed in Gaza since the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war began in October of 2023, and over 115,000 others have been injured. Dozens of families besieged in the Gaza City's Shujaya neighborhood have made urgent pleas for help in light of relentless and indiscriminate Israeli bombardment. Families, which include women and children and the sick, are trapped in dark circumstances. They cannot leave their tents and emergency shelters due to frequent and sudden Israeli artillery and drone strikes. This escalation in attacks coincides with the announcement by the Israeli regime of a significant expansion in its ground offensive in Gaza. Israel seeks to seize more territory within the Palestinian Strip and incorporate them into the so-called security zones. A very disturbing video is circulating online showing Israeli occupation forces firing on a group of Palestinian paramedics in Gaza's southern city of Rafah. Now, footage was found on the phone of one of the paramedics who worked for Gaza's civil defense and Palestine's Red Crescent Society. The video was filmed on the 23rd of March, and medics were on a rescue mission in Rafah's Tal Sutan neighborhood when this attack took place. Their ambulances and fire trucks were clearly marked and had their emergency lights on as they came under fire. At least 15 medics were killed in this strike. Hamas has strongly condemned this attack, saying the video is proof of another war crime in the regime's genocidal campaign against Palestinians. The resistance group said the video captures the deliberate, cold-blooded slaughter of civil defense teams. Hamas said video is irrefutable visual evidence which exposes Israel's lies, proves systematic targeting of humanitarian workers, and constitutes premeditated murder under international law. Now, Gaza civil defense also called for international probe into the execution-style killing of the medics and aid workers. And we should also add, before we wrap up that last story there, that that the Israeli entity, occupation entity, tried to bring in bulldozers and heavy equipment to dig a mass grave, bury those 15 bodies of those slain paramedics, along with their ambulances there in Gaza. But locals actually saw the occupation army try to do that, and they uncovered the bodies, and they actually, there's been a global blowback, and everybody knows around the world, it's been well documented, this unfolding of these civil defense workers, their ambulances, and their and the UN workers along with them, and Red Crescent Society workers, all dug into a mass grave, killed and buried in a mass grave by the Israeli entity. Now we're going to go to Abu Bakr Abba, joining us from Deir al-Balah in central Gaza for the latest in the besieged strip. Abu Bakr, hope you're safe and doing well. I don't know if you could hear us, but I was just talking about the 15 slain medics there and their ambulances, because we just I don't know if you've seen, but there's a video has emerged now showing from one of their telephones, one of the medics' telephones, when the occupation opens fire on the 15 medics and their ambulances and fire trucks there in Rafah.
Yeah, of course, that was a deliberate murder of those 15 paramedics, because it was clear that the Israeli military claimed that they didn't mean shooting at their vehicles and killing them, although they have been executing civilians inside the city since they issued eviction orders for the entirety of the population inside the southernmost part of the strip. So it was very clear that they were dressed in their uniforms and their paramedics' uniforms, and they were inside these ambulances. Now, the Israeli military said that there was a suspicious movement by those ambulances, that they were getting close from the Israeli army or from the Israeli soldiers. That's why they fired on them. Now, this video debunked all of the Israeli lies and claims, and it was very, very obvious for anyone watching this video that those paramedics were deliberately targeted by Israeli soldiers and were deliberately murdered, and they were buried in a mass grave, and then their bodies were retrieved. And we need to mention to mention this very important fact, that the other people, the other injuries and casualties and fatalities that were in the place, who should have been retrieved by those killed, slain paramedics. They stayed in that area, so they were not retrieved. So they prevented those medical staffers from doing their work, and they instead killed them and let them join the others who Israel killed during the past few days. So it's just another war crime against the humanity. We see it just a very, very empty condemnation by the outside world. And Israel has gone unpunished, not only in this incident, because it has previously bombed hospitals, targeted civilians, unarmed civilians in the streets, and murdered and executed doctors. I very vividly remember Dr. Ahmed Al-Maqadma was a specialist in Al-Shifa Hospital. He stayed there. His wife remained or fled to southern Gaza to join her family, but he stayed there. So when he was asked to move south, he was executed, and his mother was also executed with him just a few months ago. So this is just Israel's history in Gaza, and just a very, very short list of its war crimes, and this adds to a very horrific list by the Israeli army, which continues to be which continues unabated all across this terror. But those paramedics were, of course, slain deliberately killed without any warning, without any reason why Israel did that. And of course, a UN vehicle was hit. And after that incident, just 2 days ago, the UN building here in Deir al-Balah was targeted or was hit by one of the Israeli tank shells. And given this fact, we are just hearing right now, as I'm talking to you, the incessant Israeli shelling by those tanks who are moving along the eastern outskirts of Deir al-Balah, and of course across the northern and the northwestern regions of Al-Nusayrat camp. So the shelling has just intensified all across the central parts of the strip.
All right, but stay safe. Pleasure to have you on. Thank you for that comprehensive update there out of Deir al-Balah. Abu Bakr Abed there joining us. Meanwhile, the following latest Israeli airstrikes on Syria that killed 9 people and destroyed infrastructure. Palestinians and Syrians have taken to the streets of the Yarmouk camp after Friday prayers. Protesters condemned Israel's aggression in both Gaza and Daraa, voicing their unwavering support for armed resistance against occupation.
In a powerful show of unity, Syrians and Palestinians, who have endured decades of Israeli aggression, gathered today in Yarmouk camp to condemn Israel's recent incursion into Jbalia in Daraa countryside, where local resistance forces ambushed advancing Israeli troops, forcing them to retreat before Israel launched deadly airstrikes.
We are here to denounce the ongoing massacres in Gaza and the Israeli incursion in Daraa. The people resisted bravely, sacrificing martyrs in the fight against occupation. We stand with them and will never accept Israeli control over our land.
As Israeli airstrikes on Syria escalate, the response from the international community remains absent. In Daraa, however, the people have taken matters into their own hands. The popular resistance in southern Syria has proven that armed struggle remains the only way to confront Israeli expansion.
We stand with our brothers in Daraa, just as we stand with Gaza. Resistance will never be defeated. Just as Gaza's fighters remain strong, so too will the resistance in Syria. Syrians and Palestinians are united, and together we will defeat Israeli occupation.
Beyond the battlefield, many protesters also blamed Arab regimes for their complicity in Israel's crimes. Calls for accountability rang out against Arab leaders, accusing them of betraying the Palestinian cause and enabling Israeli aggression in the region.
The Israeli occupation will fall. It's only a matter of time. But those who betrayed Gaza and Daraa, like Jordan, Egypt, the UAE, and others, must be held accountable. Their complicity is a crime. And no matter what they do, the people will triumph.
With every act of Israeli aggression, the spirit of resistance grows stronger. Today's protests in Damascus and other Syrian cities are yet another testament to the unwavering determination of Syrians and Palestinians to defeat Israel. Ali Mohammed, Damascus.
Now, the United States has launched a new wave of airstrikes on Yemen, continuing its brutal aggression against the Arab country. U.S. fighter jets conducted at least 2 airstrikes on the Kahlan area east of the city of Sa'ada. No casualties have yet been reported. Areas across Yemen, including Sa'ada, have been repeatedly targeted over the past days. Yemen says the attacks are in support of Israel, as the Yemeni army has been carrying out anti-Israeli operations in the high seas and direct hits against occupied territories in support of Palestinians. As the latest operation targeted military sites in occupied territories.
The UAV force of the Yemeni armed forces carried out a military operation targeting an Israeli military site in the occupied area of Yafa using a Yafa drone. Also, our air defenses, by the grace of Allah, were able to shoot down the reconnaissance drone known as Giant Shark F-360, operated by the American Israeli enemy while carrying out hostile missions in the airspace of Saada Governorate. The drone was shot down using a locally made surface-to-air missile.
Saudi reaffirmed the country's commitment to supporting the oppressed people of Palestine and vowed Yemen will continue its military operations until Israel's aggression ends and the siege on Gaza is lifted. The Yemeni army spokesman warned the silence and inaction in the face of Israeli atrocities will result in severe consequences, urging Muslim nations to take swift action in support of the Palestinian people and help bring an end to Israel's genocidal campaign waged against them. Activist and political commentator Hussein al-Bukhaiti says the U.S. lacks credible information about Yemeni military infrastructure, so it's only been targeting civilians.
President Donald Trump have shared yesterday a video on the so-called True Media, in his account in a website called True Media, which he said that he showed footage of a gathering of Yemenis, and the United States has conducted attack on that gathering. And it's clearly, he said, Trump, he said Houthis gathered for instruction on an attack. And it's clearly from this footage, there were no military, it's not a military site, there was no military equipment. They were civilians, and it's a tribal gathering in Yemen. It's known as common traditional things in Yemen. It's sometimes for Eid or sometimes for a wedding or if there's a kind of trouble between those tribes, they gathered in a kind of a circle. Showing this footage, it shows clearly that the United States hasn't got a clue about where are the Yemeni site and where are the Yemeni launching their missiles attack. And it shows clearly, just like the Zionist State of Israel, when they shoot and they kill civilians and they show those footage, saying that those are actually Hamas fighters, but at the end, it's clearly that they were civilians. And since the attack on Yemen, that Yemeni has expanded and maximums their attack instead of, they used to attack United States Navy once every 2 days. Now there are a daily attack on the U.S. battleship. There are a daily attack twice or three on the Zionist State of Israel.
Iran's president has rejected negotiations under threat, saying the country wants dialogue on equal footing. Masoud Pezeshkian said the U.S. cannot threaten Iran while calling for negotiations. He said this contradictory behavior shows Washington's demeaning attitude not just toward Iran, but the entire world. U.S. President Donald Trump has been calling on Tehran to hold talks chiefly over its nuclear program, but he's also threatened to bomb the country if diplomacy fails. Now, in 2018, Trump himself withdrew the U.S. from the deal on Iran's nuclear program as part of his so-called maximum pressure campaign against the country. Now, Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro says his government is prepared to tackle tariffs imposed by the United States.
Today, we are in the best conditions to fulfill the homeland plan for us to continue the process of economic recovery, the construction of our own economic model, and the overcoming of any disturbance that arises from the global tariff trade war that the President of the United States has declared against the world and against Venezuela.
Maduro expressed confidence in Venezuela's ability to overcome the 15% tariffs, which are higher than those on other Latin American countries. The Canadian Prime Minister, meanwhile, Mark Carney, emphasized Canada's resilience in the trade war. Now, he said Canadians didn't ask for this fight, but are always ready when someone else drops the gloves. Earlier Thursday, he announced retaliatory measures against U.S. tariffs on auto imports. U.S. President Donald Trump's tariffs have sparked global trade tensions, with many countries implementing retaliatory tariffs. And sticking to the subject of Trump's tariffs, financial penalties have sent ripples through global financial markets. The FTSE 100 index plunged around 5% with its worst daily drop since March of 2020. banks before have been bearing the brunt of the sell-off. Across Europe, the Paris CAC 40 fell around 4.5%, and Germany's DAX index dropped nearly 5%. The pan-European Stoxx 600 also slid over 5%. Meanwhile, U.S. markets faced their worst week since the COVID crash, with all three major indices losing over 5%. Asian markets followed the trend, intensifying concerns now of a global recession. Demonstrators in South Korea's capital are celebrating the Constitutional Court's dismissal of impeached President Yoon Suk-yeol, marking the climax of months of unrest sparked by his controversial declaration of martial law. Supporters of the court's ruling hailed it as a breakthrough for democracy. Yoon's loyalists have also been holding demonstrations to condemn the verdict. The Constitutional Court ruled unanimously on Friday to uphold Yoon's impeachment by parliament. It stated that he violated the citizens' fundamental rights by imposing martial law and deploying military and police forces last December. And in response, Yoon issued an apology, acknowledging that he had failed to meet the people's expectations. And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
Arabi English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to Arabi English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Arabi English Radio.
During the 1948 war, Zionist regime forces committed more than 30 documented massacres in Palestine. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, "It is important to know the origins of the Israeli lobby to realize the significant sway it has had on American politics and the politicians. For that, we have to go back in time to post-World War II history to begin to correct the injustices that generations of Palestinians have faced and to become a society that can live with its conscience. The story of Palestine and its people must be told." After the Second World War, the United States made the decision to tie its destiny to the ethno-nationalist settler colonial regime of Israel. And since then, the Palestinian people have stood alone in their struggle. The establishment of the fabricated regime of Israel was a violent process that has never ended. Beginning in 1947, Zionist paramilitary forces launched large-scale attacks on Palestinian towns and villages, leading ultimately to the Nakba, the catastrophe, the culminating stage of the Zionist ethnic cleansing project. During the Nakba, 531 Palestinian towns and villages were destroyed. 15,000 Palestinians were murdered. 800,000 were forcibly driven from their homeland to the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and to neighboring Arab countries, and 70 massacres were committed. Before Israel's declaration of statehood on May 14, 1948, Zionist militias had committed numerous massacres whose histories have largely been suppressed. Baldat al-Sheikh on December 31st in 1947, 70 Palestinians massacred. Sa'sa on February 14th in 1948, 16 houses and their inhabitants blown up. Deir Yassin on April 9th in 1948, 107 were killed, including scores of children, women and elders. Some victims were found maimed, raped, and then killed. Masses of men were put on trucks and paraded across Al-Quds before being taken to a quarry to be executed. These atrocities were committed by Irgun and Stern gangs led by Menachem Begin and Yitzhak Shamir, respectively, who would later become prime ministers of the fabricated regime of Israel. And Abu Shusha on May 13th in 1948. Despite efforts of residents to protect their homes, the village fell to occupation. 60 Palestinians massacred. During the 1948 war, Zionist regime forces committed more than 30 documented massacres in Palestine. Israeli regime military historian Yuri Milstein has suggested that there were more than 100. In ensuing years, Israel continued its campaigns of forced displacement and massacres. Notably, it was Gibeah massacre of October 14, 1953, that gave birth to what would become the most powerful pro-Israel lobby in the United States. Born in the blood of the natives of Palestine, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, has spared no efforts to ensure that Israel's ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians be kept hidden from the American people. It is important to know the origins of the Israeli lobby to realize the significant sway it has had on American politics and politicians. For that, we have to go back in time to post-World War II history. Harry S. Truman is president of the United States regime and running for re-election with few prospects and little support until the Israeli lobby literally enters the campaign in the person of Abraham Feinberg, a hosiery manufacturing magnate. And the rest, as they say, is history, Israeli history. The man who made Truman's 1948 election victory possible explained how it was done in an interview conducted in 1973 for the Harry S. Truman Library. Oral history interview with Abraham Feinberg. He stated in the interview that without Truman, Israel would have had very difficult days and times trying to even come into existence. Israel's American enforcers faced challenges during the Eisenhower years from an administration inclined toward a more nuanced policy. During the president's first year in office, news of the massacre in the Palestinian village of Gibeah sparked widespread disapproval. Time magazine, for example, carried the story describing how Israeli regime troops shot every man, woman, and child they could find, then turned their fire on the cattle. Reporting also that soldiers were seen slouching in the doorways of Palestinian homes, smoking and joking. 66 people were killed that night. 45 were blown up in their homes that had been dynamited by soldiers. The New York Times ran excerpts from the United Nations Mixed Armistice Commission in charge of the 1949 truce, deploring the act as cold-blooded murder and refuting Israeli lies about the assault. Israel's defenders quickly gathered for damage control. Isaiah L. Kennan, founder of the American Zionist Committee for Public Affairs, AZCPA, the forerunner of AIPAC, wrote of the ill effect it would have on what he called our propaganda. To manage the Libya fallout and to prepare for future cover-ups, Kennan created AZCPA in 1954. Under his leadership, the group grew stronger and richer when it joined with the new Conference of Presidents of the Major American Jewish Organizations, an association of top Jewish leaders who promoted Israel's interests with U.S. politicians that included presidents and secretaries of state. Influencers like Abraham Feinberg and Kennan were instrumental in selling Israel to Americans and influencing policies favoring Israel. By the time Kennan died in 1988, AIPAC had gained an outsized role in shaping U.S. policy in the West Asia region. Over the years, AIPAC has demonstrated that nothing will diminish its vested interests in Israel, including genocide. Since October 7, 2023, the death and destruction Israel's defenders have been willing to accept are woefully incomprehensible. For example, 26 days into its bombardment of Gaza, the Zionist regime military had dropped 25,000 tons of bombs, American-made bombs, on 12,000 targets, 50 bombs dropped every hour. By that date, Gaza had been bombarded with the equivalent of two nuclear bombs over an area smaller than Hiroshima in 1945. The Zionist regime has also used banned cluster and white phosphorus munitions that can cause permanent environmental damage. The pain of that destruction was explicit in the words of 61-year-old Gazan farmer Samu Abi Amir, trying to revive a patch of his own productive ground, saying, "It is as if they wanted to kill the land before they killed us." After dropping more than 85,000 tons of toxic bombs on the small enclave for 15 months, it is obvious that Israel intended to poison the soil to make Gaza uninhabitable for survivals. A November 2024 report published by the Environmental Quality Authority, an independent agency established in 1990s by the Palestinian Authority, concluded that as a result of the bombing, the soil of Gaza has become so polluted with toxic chemicals that it will hinder agriculture for decades. Unable to defeat the Palestinian resistance with bombs and lethal ground forces, the Tel Aviv regime has reimposed a total blockade once again on Gaza, returning to its October 2023 weapon of war, starvation and deprivation. In addition to halting humanitarian aid, the Zionist regime threatened the resistance with additional consequences if they refuse to extend phase one of the January ceasefire agreement and accept its new proposal. It is clear that the Zionist regime has no intention of putting an end to this human catastrophe that has been in the making for over 80 years. There will be no resolution until Palestinians recapture their land, Palestine.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
وسيم النار والجنة وسيم المصطفى حقا إمام الناس listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ahli Baytihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of remembrance of God based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 222nd sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam discusses about the value of remembering God and the virtues of those who remember God. And amongst the virtues is that they ask Allah, and they know that Allah is such that His treasures are never constricted, never limited, and therefore He will grant them and save them, protect them, and cause them to grow spiritually, so they are never hopeless. And all of those discussions that we had in the previous session. Now, towards the end, after giving the importance of all of these matters, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَحَاسِبْ نَفْسَكَ لِنَفْسِكَ. Therefore, take account of yourself, لِنَفْسِكَ, for your own self. This is a very profound statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam that we shall discuss, inshallah, after the break.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam in this sermon basically gives that importance towards the spiritual progress of a person. He says that the spiritual progress of a person is in remembering God. And the sole, you can say, way and method to remember God is to adhere to His commandments. And if in order to ensure that we are adhering to Allah's commandments and to what is required from us is if we take account of ourselves, of the nafs. And that's why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَحَاسِبْ نَفْسَكَ لِنَفْسِكَ, that you should take account of your soul, of yourself. You should take account of yourself for yourself. That means you are going to benefit from this. You are going to progress. It is for your own good. And this is a kind of a warning for us, for everyone, that look, take this matter seriously, that you should take account of yourselves. So he goes on to say, فَحَاسِبْ نَفْسَكَ لِنَفْسِكَ فَإِنَّ غَيْرَهَا مِنَ الْأَنفُسِ عَلَيْهَا حَسِيبٌ. Now here is the actual warning. He says that do that because the other selves or the other souls, the other people, apart from you, they have someone to take account for them. In other words, Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to say that if you do not take control of this matter of taking account of yourself, that means if you don't take it seriously and you don't apply it, then mind you that there will be souls, there will be selves on the day of judgment where God himself will take account for what they did. And that will be a serious accounting, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's accounting on that day will be something that will be very, very serious, and nothing will be oblivious and everything will be clear on that day. So we should instead take this opportunity that we have been given by taking account of our own deeds and our own selves in this world, and as long as we are alive and have the ability to do it.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, those who do not take this issue, this matter seriously, of accounting for themselves, then at the end of the day, they will have committed some mistakes, isn't it? They will have committed some deeds. At the end of the day, they will have done things. Now, those things will remain without being taken account of. You know, they will just stay and remain, and their negative effects will have encroached into the souls of the people. They will have, created so many diseases and difficulties for that person. And therefore, then in the day of judgment, when it comes to take account, then those difficulties and problems will all become present and become seriously, seriously apparent. We should all recognize this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Inna ilayna iyabahum. Certainly, towards us is their return. Thumma inna alayna hisabahum. And then know that it is upon us to take account of them, to take account of their deeds, of their actions, of their states. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this opportunity that he has given us in this world to take account of our deeds, we should take that seriously. And we should therefore strive and urge ourselves to achieve that level of remembering God, so that we do not fall into the abyss of obliviousness and forgetfulness and farness from our Creator. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom. حين دعاه نال منه.
bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
Nearly 40,000 Palestinians have been forcibly displaced throughout the Zionist regime's ongoing military assault in the West Bank, with only 3,000 Palestinians returned to their homes. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Electronic Intifada wrote, "We are witnessing new trails of tears in the West Bank mirroring Gaza's fate." These were the words of Francisca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur on the occupied West Bank and Gaza recently. She was referencing the forced expulsion between 1830 and 1850 by the United States government of tens of thousands of indigenous people from their homeland east of the Mississippi toward what became Oklahoma, leading to the deaths of thousands. What Israel is doing in occupied Palestine today has a strong echoes of 1947 to 1949 Nakba and the 1967 Naxa, Albanese said, referring to the two major ethnic cleansing campaigns carried out by Zionist militias and the Israeli regime army that produced hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees. Nearly 40,000 Palestinians have been forcibly displaced throughout Israel's ongoing military assault in the West Bank, with only 3,000 Palestinians returned to their homes. The Zionist regime's war minister, Israel Katz, last month indicated that this displacement would be permanent as the Israeli regime army makes preparations for a long occupation of the northern refugee camps as the military assault nearly enters its third month. Albanese warned that a mass ethnic cleansing campaign is underway, as the Zionist regime uses the fog of war to advance its long-standing objective of seizing Palestinian land. She said, "The world, meanwhile, is pretending not to see history repeating itself." Albanese's statement was issued on the same day as a report by the United Nations Human Rights Office detailing Israel's advancement of settlements in the West Bank between November 2023 and October 2024 and the illegal transfer of Jewish Israelis there. The report stated that Israel's maintenance and expansion of settlements amount to annexation of large parts of the West Bank. The Israeli regime government allocated $200 million to settlement projects from its budget in 2024, including for constructing roads between settlements, funding outposts, or backing so-called security for settlements and outposts. These acts amount to transfer by Israel of its population to occupied Palestinian territory. The transfer by Israel of parts of its own civilian population into the territory it occupies amounts to a war crime, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, said. More than 10,000 housing units were advanced or approved in existing settlements in Area C, over the reporting period. Area C is the 60% of the West Bank under full Israeli regime military control, according to the Oslo Accords of 1990s. But in reality, the Zionist regime military controls the whole of the West Bank and has been conducting raids in the smaller areas where the Palestinian Authority has nominal control. By the end of October 2024, there were nearly 740,000 Israeli settlers in the West Bank, including East Al-Quds. All of Israel's settlements in the West Bank and Syria's Golan Heights are illegal under international law and are considered a war crime. In July 2024, the International Court of Justice ruled that Israel's presence in the West Bank is illegal and must end. Francesca Albanese said, Israel's conduct aiming to ethnically cleanse the land between the river to the sea amounts to a genocidal campaign to erase Palestinians as a people. The climate of revenge has prevailed in the West Bank since October 7, 2023. Settler violence has skyrocketed, leading to the forcible displacement of Palestinians from herding communities. The UN report states the line between settler and state violence blurred to a vanishing point, further enabling an increase in violence and impunity. Palestinian victims of violence increasingly refer to settler soldiers when recounting incidents to OHCHR, the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. The monthly average of settler violence in 2024 was 118 incidents. This was an increase from the 108 average of 2023, which was a year in which settler violence had already reached unprecedented levels. Nearly 1,300 incidents resulted in casualties or property damage that year. That was a 51% increase in the number of incidents during 2022, and more than a twofold increase on the number of incidents during 2021. Meanwhile, as the Zionist regime pounded Gaza recently, killing hundreds of Palestinians, the Israeli regime military assault on the West Bank's refugee camps continued unabated. This has been the worst military assault on the West Bank since the Second Intifada nearly two decades ago. Nearly 70 Palestinians have been killed since January. The Israeli regime army uprooted around 85% of the streets of Jenin refugee camp in the north, the municipality's director, Mahmoud Asaf, said. One quarter of the refugee camp's population has been forcibly displaced, the city's mayor said in a statement. Throughout January and February, the World Health Organization recorded more than 60 attacks on the healthcare across the West Bank, the vast majority in the northern area, where the Israeli regime has focused its attack.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is iranradio.ir, and now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So today we reflect on a deep and transformative hadith that connects faith, the heart, and the tongue. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his holy progeny, says, "A person's faith will not be firm unless his heart is firm, and his heart will not be firm unless his..." And his heart will not be firm unless his tongue is controlled. What does this mean? It tells us that true faith is reflected not just in beliefs, but in how we speak. Let's explore how controlling the tongue strengthens both the heart and faith. So faith isn't just words, it's a conviction that must be deeply rooted in the heart. A wavering heart leads to weak decisions, doubts, and inconsistency in practice. So a person who gets influenced by every new trend without strong principle struggles to maintain their faith. And what we say, what we say affects our emotions and beliefs. Constant negativity, backbiting, or lying corrupts the heart. A person who speaks with wisdom and kindness develops a purified heart. Someone who constantly complains about life becomes ungrateful, while someone who practices gratitude strengthens their faith. So control your tongue, otherwise it will control you and your future and your destiny and your life, on a whole. So hurtful words break relationships, while words of encouragement uplift others. The tongue can spread truth or falsehood, peace or conflict. A leader who speaks honestly and calmly gains people's trust, while one who speaks recklessly loses respect. So think before you speak. Does it bring benefit or harm? Avoid lies, gossip, and harsh words. Speak words of gratitude, kindness, and wisdom. Use your tongue to remember Allah, recite the Quran, give sincere advice. Tongue is a limb that you can obey or disobey Allah with it so easily. Why not use it in the best way? Why use it in like disobedience to God? While you can remember Allah with it, you can make others happy, you can say the truth, you can spread the truth, you can spread wisdom. So you can do a lot of good deeds with your tongue. Why not use it in a good way? So this hadith reminds us that controlling our words is the key to stabilizing our heart. And a stable heart leads to strong faith. Let's practice mindful speech and purify our hearts for a deeper connection with Allah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has arrived in Budapest, Hungary, for a four-day visit in defiance of International Criminal Court arrest warrant. The Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has welcomed the war criminal with open arms and even vowed to pull his country out of the ICC. The Hague-based court has strongly criticized Budapest for not exercising its duty in apprehending Netanyahu, who, after an investigation last year, had an arrest warrant issued for responsibility for the war crime of starvation as a method of warfare and crimes against humanity of murder, persecution, and other inhumane acts during the Gaza genocide. Now, Budapest's refusal to fulfill its legal obligation under international law and ramifications of this move for the international legal order is a focus of today's Spotlight program. And now for our guests. Joining us is Blake Maruf, Executive Director at Free Palestine TV, joining us from Beirut. And Mr. Asad Abu Shark, Palestinian academic and activist, joining us from Dublin.
The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.